I want to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Before we look at a verse here, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we call upon you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that we can call. In His precious name, we ask your blessing. We pray that this evening grant unto us an ear to hear, a heart to worship. And Lord, forgive us where we failed you for Christ's sake. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, our doctrine? And to whom is the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed?" Now, when he came into this world, he was absolutely not known. There were some that it was revealed to that he was the Christ. But by and large, when men looked upon him, the scripture says, verse 2, he shall grow up before him, before his father, as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He revealed who he was. And men looked at him by and large and said, "We know who you are. You're Joseph's boy, the carpenter's son. And you say you're the Christ? You're the Messiah? This one walking around with these followers, this one that was hanging on a cross, beaten, visage marred more than any man, didn't even look like a man, the one they spit on and pulled his beard out, and naked, hanging there. You're God?" He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And look at this. Have you ever done it, or have you ever had anybody else do this to you? You see somebody and you really didn't want to say anything to them, or they didn't want to say anything to you, and they just kind of pretend like they didn't see you. And if you catch them, you know, "Hey, so-and-so, hey, didn't see you." This is what they did. This is what we did. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, you listen to what is being said. I'm going to look at verse 6 is where I'm going. But the scripture says, surely. I looked at that verse again this afternoon, and going over my notes, and I looked at that word, surely. Now, this is a great comfort. because it's a miracle of God's grace that we believe this. We struggle. We struggle. And our old man that wars against our new man doesn't believe this. And there's a nature within that's fighting and despising this truth right here. But surely, He hath borne our griefs. This was real. He actually bore in His own body our griefs. Really, God Almighty made Him sin. We've looked at that scripture so many times. And I looked at it again today and I thought, Lord, if I truly believe this, it's going to be by Your grace. Surely, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God. I thought the Romans nailed Him to the tree. They were the means, but He was smitten of God. According to God's determinate counsel and afflicted, but He was wounded because of, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Now I've got three questions I want to ask. I heard someone this week, and they were saying that there's no way under the sun that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die for everyone. He said, this proves it. Right here. Scripture proves it. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace. With His stripes, we are healed. Now, here's my first question. For whom did the Lord die? For whom did the Lord die? Of whom were these words spoken? Just hold your finger right there and turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. If you want to understand the Scripture, let me tell you the first thing you want to do. Find out to whom was it written. Who was it written to? Look at Isaiah 1, 1 to 3. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. I know this first of all. I know this was written to God's people. I know that. To whom was this written? I knew it was to God. I know it's to God's people. Just all right. Now flip back to look at Isaiah 52, verse 1-3. Isaiah 52, 1-3. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth There shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you've sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. I know this. It was written to the captive daughter of Zion. I know that. Well, then here's my second question. To what does Zion refer? Now, this is important because men will read these verses and they will apply them to everybody without distinction. He bore our griefs. He bore everybody's griefs, they said. Now, wait a minute. Who do you write this to? If I write a note to my wife and I put down there, I love you, and someone picks up that piece of paper and it's not her and says, oh, look here, Marvin loves me. Well, I didn't write it to you. I wrote it to her. So, who did the Lord write this to? He wrote it to His people. Zion. Look at Psalm 87:2. Psalm 87:2. Psalm 87, verse 2 and 3. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I tell you who Zion is. It's the church. The church. The city of God. Zion is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, 4 and 5. Psalm 46, 4 and 5. Psalm 46, 4 and 5. There is a river, the streams whereof, the streams of God's mercy, the streams of God's blessings. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Who is Zion? Who is the people of God? It's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back at Isaiah 53 and I'll answer that first question I asked. For whom did Christ die? Look at Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. I'll tell you who Isaiah 53, all of Isaiah, but I'll tell you who this book is written to. It's written to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written to the church. Now, knowing that, having established who Zion is, who the Lord's people are, the holy city of God. Now, Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Now that state right there is common to all men. That without doubt, all men have gone astray from the womb. When we fell in Adam, by one man's transgression, by one man's sin and rebellion against God, the whole mass of humanity fell in Adam. So here's a truthful statement. All we, and the bride's in that. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ fell in Adam just like everyone else did. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even God's elect, that's right, it fell in sin. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we're all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God looked to see if there were any that did good. There was none. Every imagination of the thought of man was evil. Continually, that's all he thought, was evil. Evil. All we like sheep have gone astray. Men are depraved. They're born dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. But to those who by the grace of God have been made to see that state and to know that state, in Adam's fall, there's a special confession that they make. That's the next one. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, I know everyone fell in Adam. I know that. But I tell you that only a believer is one that'll admit it. Now, he'll try to justify, man by nature will kind of justify himself. Well, I know. I know I'm probably a sinner. I'm sure I am. I heard Brother Henry preaching a message one time. A woman called him. I may have told some of you this. A woman called him there in Ashland. And she said, my husband has been in an accident there at the plant there in one of the refineries there in Ashland. And he never did. She came, very faithful lady. And she said, would you come see my husband? He wants to talk to you. He never would come. Never would come to the services. She said, would you come talk to him? Brother Henry said, I'll be glad to. So he came by, he said, and I began to talk with him. He said, I asked him, I said, what's your thoughts? What's your thinking? He said, well, I feel as though I need to get right with God. Brother Henry said, okay. He said, well, let's just open the Bible here. And he said, let's see what God has to say about somebody wanting to get right with God. He said, let me ask you something. You see yourself as a sinner, a rotten, no good, good for nothing, low down, stinking sinner. The man said, well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. He said, you wouldn't say I am, would you, honey? And she said, well, I guess if you say you're not, I guess you're not. Brother Henry said, I just closed my Bible. And I told him, I said, well, till we get past this point right here, he said, we can't go any farther than this. Here's the problem. Man by nature. Now let me ask you something. Those that you know that don't know him, do you feel as though that they see themselves as low down, rotten, good for nothing, hell deserving sinners? Scripture says they don't admit it. There was a Pharisee that prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not. I am not as other men are. But you let the Spirit of God reveal to a man or a woman what they are, being born in Adam. And let me tell you, here's the admission of a believer. Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Listen to Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. David said in Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Job said in 9:20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. All men truly are sinners, but I'll tell you this, there's a peculiar admission of guilt that is realized by the objects of God's mercy who have been regenerated by the grace of God and called out of the darkness of unbelief. They know. And the older you get, it just seems like to me that the more you realize it. You just think, I get so tired of myself. I get so tired of seeing what I see in me. By God's grace, that admission is drawn out. And they confess what they are, asking for mercy because God has shown them mercy already and delights to show them mercy. I'll tell you this, that right there, that second phrase in Isaiah 53:6, we have turned everyone to his own way. I am a rebel. I see it as an old man in me that hates God, that does not want to pray, that does not want to read, that does not want to hear. But there's a new man there that does. And he delights after the law of God. He delights. But that old man's there. There's a mark of true repentance. I'm the sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That confession is a giving up of all self-righteousness. You will not hear a believer bragging on what he's done to merit salvation before God. It's what you're going to hear him say. We've all turned everyone to his own way. I am what I am by the grace of God. The Lord saved me. I was doing the rebellion. God saved me. Saved me by grace. But to those, it can truthfully be said, and the Lord, Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, according to that eternal covenant of grace, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who did Christ die for? He died for God's people. The Zion of God and Jehovah caused to meet. That's what when it says laid, it caused to meet. Now, last week I think it was, there's when Paul was saying, if I'd be separated, I could be separated if it meant salvation, my people. Couldn't be, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. But there's certain things that we just really often lose the glory of it the more we try to explain it. But the glorious truth is this. The Lord laid, my margin says, made the iniquity of us all to meet on him. Now here's what the scripture sets forth. All of the iniquity, all of the debt, all the iniquity. Let's just stay with exactly what it's saying. All of the iniquity of all God's elect, for the entirety of this world's existence, all of the iniquity, every thought, every intent, every ill word, every act of rebellion, whatever it was, in word, thought, or deed, all of it. I mean, there's a group of people here I can't even imagine How much if we tried to collect all of the iniquity of everybody here, but of all of God's sheep, all of God's elect, for all of time, all of the iniquity. He hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It all met on Christ. For whom did He die? Look at Ephesians 5. When I talk about for whom did the Lord die, let me tell you, I love this verse of Scripture. I quote it all the time. John 10:15. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. That to me is so plain, it's so straightforward. It's just, look at this one. Ephesians 5:25-27. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and look at this, and gave Himself for it. Who did He die for, Mitch? He died for the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Who did He die for? Whose iniquity was laid on Him? Zion's, His people, the church, the bride. Are they going to be saved? Are all of God's sheep going to be saved? John 10:16, and other sheep the Lord said, I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold, one shepherd. It was the Father's will that all that He gave the Son be saved. It was the Father's will. John 6:39. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That was the Father's will. And listen to this, Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Is the Lord's will going to be done? Yes, it is. That truth is taught to a believer. Faith is given, and by faith given to them, because all men have not faith. They come to Christ, they find their rest in Him, and they have no confidence in their flesh. There's the gospel set forth. The gospel set forth, beautiful. You take Isaiah 53. And preach the gospel as clearly as it's ever been preached. We've all gone astray. Especially me. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Oh, while we were yet in trespasses and sins, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, that quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. He undertook the debt of His people, that debt that was owed to the broken law of God, and bore, the Scripture says, in His own body, their sins. Made them to be His own. I'll take that. You know, I talking about me writing a letter to Glenda or something like that. You know what? If she goes down to Penny's and buys something, do you know whose responsibility that is? Pay me. Send me the bill. I write them a check. Pay that bill. Why? Because I'm responsible. Responsible. Listen to the responsibility that he took to himself. Psalm 40:12. He says, mine iniquities. I thought he was without sin. He is. Always has been. But he bore our guilt and carried our sorrows and said prophetically through David, who penned this, and he said, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. Those are the words of the surety. I'll make good on them. You give them to me. I'll bear them. I'll pay the debt. I'll put them away. Our debt charged to him, and he accepted it and put it away by his broken body and shed blood. And the Father, who bruised him, saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And was satisfied. And now, when we sin, and we do, the sin that we have committed right now, he paid the debt of that sin. And in him, for his people, for the city of God, the bride, the elect, the church, in Christ, God's satisfied. The Lord has reconciled us back to God. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, trusting in the flesh, looking to the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.